Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
States like these and their terrorist allies constitute an axis of evil.
Not merely peace in our time, but peace in all time.
Continued cooperation for world peace. All those who have fought against oppression.
This country deserves a break from politics and a permanent break. Talking about Brexit.
Hello, Imans. Welcome, and I'm so glad that you could join us for this short conversation today on the podcast. I am very excited to hear your thoughts on the evolving situation in Ukraine, but also on the broader implications for European and Euro-Atlantic security.
Great.
Before we get into the more specific conversation, I was just hoping that you could introduce yourself and let our listeners know who you are and tell us something about your background.
Okay, right. Well, thanks very much for engaging me on this. Very pleased to participate. And I'm a former Latvian diplomat, former Minister of Defense for a short while of Latvia, former Member of Parliament for a short while, a Latvian from the United Kingdom originally, born over there. Parents were refugees. I moved over with my family in 1992, just 30 years ago, to start working for the Foreign Ministry. I had the privilege of being NATO's ambassador to, Latvia's ambassador to NATO in 2004 and the run-up to 2004 when we joined the alliance. So, and I'm now currently a senior research fellow with the Latvian Institute of International Affairs since my retirement from the Foreign Service in 2020, July, where I finished off my diplomatic career as Latvia's ambassador in France.
And France is one of the many places where you and I have met. I think the first time was in London, and then we've met numerous times in Riga, including at the Institute of Foreign Affairs, and also in Paris, which wasn't that long ago, but there's been a pandemic and a war in between, so
exactly.
It feels like a longer time. But look, Imans, I'm so glad to have you here. And as you said, you have experience from highest levels of policymaking in Latvia, but also in a broader kind of European context, which is exactly what I would like to talk to you about today. Because clearly what's happening now in Ukraine is first and foremost a tragedy for the citizens of Ukraine. It's first and foremost about Ukraine. But as we always hear people say, this is also really a threat and a challenge for the wider European security. And we've repeatedly made a case here that this is something that affects all of us. And there's always this question on, you know, what will the broader repercussions be? What will the next steps be? And Latvia, together with the other Baltic states, is really interesting to me because you're really at the center of that discussion, given your history. And so that's what I wanted to start talking to you about today. From a Baltic perspective and from a Latvian perspective, could you just give us your view on how this affects your country and the policymaking in Riga at the moment?
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. I think we need to start off by not talking about the situation in Ukraine, but let's call it what it is. It's an ongoing war by Russia against Ukraine, which started 8 years ago, and even before the activities of the increased military assault on Ukraine last week, there are already 14,000 people who've been killed in that war since 2008. So I'm sure, you know, in speaking to Ukrainians, they will remind you about the fact that they've actually been at war. A war has been carrying on in Europe for the past 8 years, but it's now obviously coming to a head. Now, clearly, because of the fact that we are in the region, there is a lot of concern also in Latvia, in Estonia and Lithuania about what has been happening these last few weeks. I suppose that our concerns already began after the revolution, the mini revolution that began in Belarus after the last falsified elections of Lukashenko, where, you know, suppression, there was the uprising of the people there, suppressions by Lukashenko, and an increasing incorporation of Belarus into Russia. And so we've seen how this has affected the events of last week, with the part of the military onslaught on Ukraine coming through Belarus, which essentially means, okay, they were Russian armed forces going through Belarus, but essentially it did seem that, and it does seem that Belarus has increasingly lost its sovereignty and any real control over what happens on its territory. And so if on the one hand, you know, we had these myths perpetuated by Putin about NATO encroaching on the borders of Russia, let's not forget that 6% of the Russian borderline is with a border with NATO. What we now see happening is, in fact, that Russia is encroaching on the border with NATO and the European Union. Firstly, with Belarus, where we've had these hybrid war actions by Lukashenko over the last year, with the use of illegal migrants as a hybrid war tool to try to unsettle the internal situation in Poland, Lithuania, less so in Latvia. And obviously, if he were to succeed with occupying and taking over Ukraine, that would also mean that there'd be more of a Russian border with NATO, and you know, there'd be the border immediately with Poland, Slovakia and Hungary. So clearly, I think that the fact that in many ways we saw this coming, although, you know, for many it was difficult to predict whether there would be or there wouldn't be this increased military assault by Putin and Russia last week. It has happened, and it's right that NATO has reacted very quickly to increase the reassurance for Latvia and the Baltic countries, Poland, by increasing the number of troops, putting the NATO response force on high readiness, 8,500 American troops. We've had just an increase of Apache helicopters arriving US. We've had the airborne division, one of the airborne divisions from the United States, coming into Latvia, probably from Italy, 4 hours in 4 hours on 4 hours notice. And, you know, we've had increased commitment to the enhanced forward presence, which is the NATO partner presence in our three Baltic countries and Poland, which have been here for the past 5 years since 2017, and which was a direct result of Russia's illegally annexing Crimea, and also continuing with the military actions in the east of Ukraine. So clearly this is now obviously a fundamental change to the security situation in Europe. There's no doubt about that. And the responses have already shown that, especially if we look at what happened yesterday with the speech of commissioner, the president of the commission, van der Leyen, pledging funding and lethal weapons to Ukraine. This is now, Ukraine is increasingly becoming a fundamental part of Europe's security architecture, and it may be a wake-up call for more Europe in the security and defense realm, which is something, as you know, the French have been pleading for a number of years. I mean, it's not actually the question of European sovereignty, European strategic autonomy, is not something particularly new, but obviously with the election of President Macron 5 years ago has increasingly been on the agenda for the past 5 years, and especially bearing in mind France being holding the presidency of the European Union during this 6 month period.
In many ways, what you're describing now is a pretty well coordinated and pretty strong response to Russia's aggression, and that's something that I would like to ask you about. We've had, since the illegal annexation of Crimea back in 2014, there have been responses, right? But I think it's fair to say that the sanctions imposed on Russia and on Russians have been relatively light, especially considering the full spectrum of potential ways to target the Russian economy. And I also think that the military response has been relatively light. You mentioned the enhanced forward presence, which was, of course, a really important signal from NATO, but still in military terms, I would say, I think a lot of people would agree that it's relatively light. And now you've seen a number of new proposals, a number of new responses. And just before we started recording, we had a quick mention of the fact that Sweden has now agreed, for instance, to send arms to Ukraine, which is relatively unheard of in Swedish politics. I mean, you talk to a lot of, you know, European leaders frequently about this, from west to east, from north to south. Traditionally, there has usually been a pretty big divergence between how different member states of the EU, for instance, think about Russia and what kind of responses that you want to see. Do you think and do you feel that there has been a change in perception over the last months and weeks in terms of the different European countries and how they think about responding to what Russia is doing?
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Well, I think there has been. I think there's been a fundamental shift even these last few days. And the key has been Germany, of course. We've seen surprising developments in Germany where we've had the Chancellor in his press conference with President Biden in Washington refusing to mention the Nord Stream words. Right? He then went to Moscow, he went to Kiev, but then we had the decision by Chancellor Scholz to put a stop to Nord Stream 2 on a technical basis, as he announced. We've had also from Latvia, there has been a lot of criticism about Germany's refusal to allow Estonia to send arms to Ukraine, which originated in Germany. Today, what are we looking at? The fact that Germany has not only announced it's going to increase its defense budget to 2% of GDP, which is incredible in itself that such a quick decision could be made, but also that they have agreed to send arms also to Ukraine, therefore reversing their whole post Second World War policy of not engaging directly in military support. I think these illustrate and of course we have had various incidents of perhaps not full unity by EU member states. Even last week we were talking about Germany, Hungary, Italy not agreeing to the imposition of the SWIFT, removing SWIFT Russia from the SWIFT banking system. That's now been overcome, so there's unanimity on that. Perhaps what is more devastating has been the measures taken against Russia's central bank, where even today, as we're talking Monday, the 28th of February, this morning, there's been a 30% devaluation in the value of the ruble. So, you can see that really, although it's clear that neither NATO or the European Union is monolithic, but the value and the strength of both organizations is their unity. And even though it may take a little bit of time in reaching that unity, when it comes, it's so much stronger than individual nations acting on their own. And I think that's the that's really where we are today. It's a remarkable situation in my mind. And, it does help reassure. And I think what was very encouraging also, which is a manifestation of this unity, is the way in which there was clear consultation between the United States and their European partners, both within NATO and with the European Union as an organization.
It's almost ironic in a way, because what this is really about is in some ways Putin is achieving exact the opposite of what we can assume that he wants. We're now seeing more unity, more coordination, and a very firm response from, in principle, all European leaders. If we look at next steps, what do you think that the EU and NATO and its members could do more to deter further aggression by Russia?
Well, I think that there needs to be more of the same in many ways. And we've reached a pinnacle in some ways, attacking the oligarchs, taking their money, freezing their assets, and the decision to send lethal weapons to Ukraine to supply Ukraine with more defensive munitions. I think that's very important. That should continue these very days. Let's hope it's not too late. This should be a matter of urgency. There should be a holding firm on the sanctions which have already been imposed, and clearly subject to the way things develop, keeping being alert about the need to ensure that Article 5 of the Washington Treaty can be enforced, and the defense of member states that are particularly close to Russia and border Russia in the eastern flank. So I think, I think that the response has come to a head, and obviously it's interesting to see whether Ukraine as a partner of the Eastern Partnership will be encouraged more to integrate into the European Union, and whether they will be welcomed more, because they have been fighting Europe's war, essentially. They've been on the front line of holding out for democratic values, and I think this needs to be acknowledged, and they need to be helped in their path to stabilize democracy and stabilize their European values. And I think this is very important. And of course, there is a theory that one of the biggest threats that Putin feels is Ukraine becoming a democratic country, because as we've seen, Putin does not like democracy and these colored revolutions that took place. And for him, for more democracy to go into Russia is a threat to his reign, as it were, as an emperor, as a king, as a president of Russia. And so it may be that this whole thing backfires on him, whether there will be a palace coup. I think that's been something that's been talked about also in the public media these last couple of days in Latvia. And so I think he may well have taken off more than he can chew. And let's hope that this is also, in the long run, positive for the Russian population and Russians themselves, let alone, obviously, the Ukrainians, where, regrettably, they continue to, as we speak, probably suffer, and there is a loss of life both on the Russian and the Ukrainian side.
So clearly there's a need to keep up the pressure, if you will, on Russia, and to further strengthen the deterrence against Russia. I'd like to ask you about the role of diplomacy and the role of communications between the EU, NATO, and Russia. You hear sometimes now that we're beyond the role of diplomacy. What are your thoughts? I mean, you, as a diplomat, how do you think in terms of the balance between responding with very firm pressure and still keeping communication channels open?
Well, I think this carrot and stick policy is the right one. That we shouldn't give up on diplomacy. There have been voices that have said that, this is appeasement, with Macron, Scholz going to Moscow to speak with Putin. Are Scholz and the Macron the new Ribbentrops to Russia's Molotov? Is there going to be a deal done over the heads of the Ukrainians? And this hasn't taken place. I think it's important that channels of communication are left open, even in times of crisis, that there's perhaps channels between Russian military and US, NATO military leaders. Even today, we're seeing that President Zelensky has agreed to meet on some level. You know, there's a meeting between Russian and Ukrainian officials on the Belarus-Ukrainian border in an attempt to try to bring in a ceasefire and a halt to what's happening. So you see that, I mean, to my mind, these are very important events that need to be nurtured when the time is right. There's obviously a time when there needs to be a stop to talking, which we saw last week after, you know, the massive assault on Ukraine. You know, there was a pause, but the messages were loud and clear from the heads of state criticizing what has happened. You know, we see that there was diplomacy taking place in the United Nations. There were consultations amongst NATO member countries under Article 4 of the Washington Treaty. You know, let's hope that if there's a pullback by Russia, you know, we can return to diplomacy. But it does seem that the Minsk process and the engagement of the Normandy 4 has now really come to a halt, given what has happened this last week or so.
Well, thank you. As a final question, I guess, clearly what we need to think about now is, you know, how can we support Ukraine? How can we deter further aggression by Russia? But if we try to think a bit more in the long term, and coming back to the point that you originally made, that this war is really an affront on all of Europe's security and our ability to you know, live in peace. It's an affront on our democratic values. If we think long term about the need to further strengthen the security architecture or the security landscape, if you will, in this arena, what are some steps that you think that we should be paying particular attention to?
Well, I think that you know, we need to build on the unity of NATO and continue you know, the pressure on all countries to increase their defense budgets, as Germany has done. I think that's a crucial turn. I think obviously the European Union will want to consider its strategic policies and whether it should, you know, continue to move ahead on the positive wave that has taken place these last couple of days to show that it is a strategic actor with whom one can calculate and with whom one should reckon with as a force to be reckoned with. And I think the future is dictated by events. You know, we need to see what's going to happen in the power. Perhaps there may be a power struggle in Moscow, and to react accordingly. And if there's a pullback, if Russia, you know, stops its occupation of the Crimea, acknowledges the right of neighbors to choose their own destiny under the Helsinki Final Act of 1975, rather than trying to move ahead according to the Yalta and spheres of influence approach, then I think there, you know, we have to wait and see how things develop and react accordingly. But I think the message of unity and strength and speed has probably taken Putin by surprise.
And I also think, Imans, that that's an incredibly important message to end with. So thank you so much for joining us and for your very informed inside perspectives on what's unfolding at the moment.
Okay, it's been a pleasure. Thanks very much, Axel.
Hold up.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.